Welcome to Purple Politics Nevada. I'm your host, Lucia Starbuck. The name refers to the fact that the state isn't red or blue, it's both. And that was on full display during Nevada's special legislative session that just wrapped up after 7 days straight with lawmakers crossing those party lines. One of the main reasons Republican Governor Joe Lombardo ordered legislators to Carson City was to pass a bill to massively expand transferable film tax credits to entice movie production to the state. Supporters call the $1.8 billion in tax breaks a revenue generator and a union job-creating economic diversification package. Opponents called it a Hollywood handout at the expense of state services. Ultimately, the bill failed. We are broadcasting live right here from KUNR, and we have a great lineup today to learn about why. First up, I'm joined by Democratic Northern Nevada Assembly member Selena LaRue Hatch. She's being hailed as the face of the resistance to this legislation. Thanks for joining me in the studio bright and early.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's take listeners back to day one of the special session. You pulled a surprise maneuver to try to kill the film tax break bill at the introduction in the first hours of the session. First of all, why were you so against it?
So, you know, I am a teacher and I ran for office because we have some of the lowest funded schools in the nation and we have the largest class sizes. And my goal will always be to invest in our students and our kiddos. And I looked at the cost of this. We had analysis that showed by 2030, we'd be in a $300 million deficit if we passed this bill. And I knew for a fact that meant we would either have to raise taxes on people or we would have to cut services. And I just could not get to a place where I felt comfortable cutting our students' education to fund mega corporations.
And I need to know how and when you hatched this plan to try to do this on within the first couple hours of the session.
So I'm a history teacher. I know the importance of reading the documents. I even brought in all my rules today. You can see they're all annotated and highlighted. I've spent a long time reading the rules because I think you need to know them to be a successful legislator. And in the weeks leading up to this, I found Rule 109, which says you can reject a bill on first reading. And I decided to employ it because, one, I did not think film bill rose to the level of an emergency, which is what it should be in a special session. And two, I didn't believe that it had the votes. And I think ultimately that ended up being the case by the time session ended.
Other Democrats were quick to denounce you. Assemblymember Max Carter II said you were working against working class families, and outgoing Speaker Steve Yeager continued to publicly criticize you for trying to kill the bill without getting a fair hearing. How do you respond to this?
Yeah, so I am a union member. I am a teacher in a low-income school. The entire purpose of my campaign and my being in the legislature is to make sure working families have a voice in that building. And I did not think that AB 5, the film bill, was a working families bill. It was the largest corporate handout in Nevada history. It would have led to defunding of our schools, of cutting union state worker jobs, of cutting police and fire. And all to benefit some of the richest corporations on earth. And so I believe I was in line with my union values of solidarity. An injury to one is an injury to all. I believe that I was in line with standing up for the working people of Nevada. And most importantly, I was very frustrated that our assembly leadership chose to cut off the phone lines and not allow working people to express their opinions on this bill, and then tried to say that I was the one that was cutting people out of the process.
And for some context, the assembly decided to not take virtual testimony. They cited staffing shortages, so a bit of context there. I mean, this is fighting among Democrats, your fellow Democrats. What do you think this says about the Democratic Party in Nevada?
You know, I don't think this was a partisan issue. I think this was an issue of people on both sides of the aisle having a disagreement about what this bill meant. And I think that the biggest thing is this was a referendum on special interests. You know, I called this the special interest session for a reason, because it was very much corporate lobbyists were coming in, threatening, bribing, coercing, trying to do any tactic they could to get their handout across the line. And at the end of the day, a bipartisan coalition chose to stand up and say no to that and to put the people of Nevada first.
Are you saying that there's bullying and arm twisting going on in the building?
I have said that since this session started. It absolutely happened, and I don't believe that is good governance, and I think the people of Nevada deserve better.
This bill was seen as a construction and permanent movie job creator in the state that's still heavily reliant on gaming and tourism. And with heightened economic fears and anti-immigration sentiment, tourism is already taking a hit this year. If not film tax breaks, what solution do you propose to diversify Nevada's economy?
Right. No, I wish that this could have been the bill, but when we see it in every other state, it has not had economic returns. The rosiest projections from the proponents were 23 cents back for every dollar we invested. That is not an investment I would make with my own personal money, and it's not an investment I'd make with the people's money. And we know that in a downturn, people stop traveling, so tourism goes down, but they also stop going to the movies. And so this was not something that I think could save us. I want union jobs, but I want union jobs in services that help everyone. I think we should have a light rail project for Clark or Washoe. I think we should be building more schools. I think we should be investing in critical infrastructure. And I think that if we improve our education system, that will diversify your economy because businesses will want to come here. They don't want to come here and educate their kids in some of the worst schools in the nation.
If this bill were to return, what kind of guardrails would you want to see in it?
I hope that this bill doesn't return, but if it does, we need to see an actual return on our investment, and we need economists to stand up and say this will actually pan out for the people of Nevada. Unfortunately, in every state this has been done, that hasn't happened, and in some states, like in Michigan, they actually ended up defunding their police after they passed this bill, and that is my serious concern, is that we will cut services that we need to give corporate handouts to mega corporations.
Is this something that you expected to go through, or were you surprised at that it failed on the last day?
I did not think that it would go through. I did not think it had the votes from day one, and that's why I tried to save everybody some heartache on day one by saying so.
How did it feel to kind of stand up against your party, and kind of what notes or advice do you have to other people?
Well, it wasn't just my party. Governor Lombardo called this session, right? I felt that it was more standing up to special interests, and I think that we need that. I think that for a long time in Nevada, the status quo is if the special interest lobbyists want it, the special interest lobbyists get it. And I think we saw a coalition across the board that said, no, that's not how we're going to play ball anymore.
What notes can the Democratic Party take away from this? We have an election coming up next year. What can Democrats do?
You know, I think that people often say Nevada is shifting to the right, and I don't think that is true. I represent one of the most purple districts in the state, and I have won my reelection twice because I'm talking about common sense things. People are not shifting right. They are shifting towards economic populism. They do not want corporations calling the shots. They do not want the game stacked against them. And I think that Democrats need to start speaking to those economic anxieties, and they need to make working people feel like they have a fair shot at the table and they don't have to buy their way into access.
Thank you so much, Assemblymember LaRue Hatch. I really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And now we'll switch to another lawmaker. I'm also joined by Democratic Assembly Member, also a teacher outside of the legislature, like LaRue Hatch, Assemblymember Ruben DeSilva. Thanks for joining me bright and early as well.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you, Lucia.
You were a vocal advocate for expanding the film tax credit bill, and you've mentioned because of some of where the revenue was to be directed. Why did you fight so hard to get this past the finish line?
Yeah, first and foremost, you know, I too am a school teacher like my friend there, Selena. You know, I'm also teaching in a, you know, very socioeconomically challenged, you know, neighborhood and school system really here in East Las Vegas and North Las Vegas. You know, but I think good people can come on different and opposite ends, you know, of this debate. You know, I was a very strong supporter, you know, of this film bill because I saw it as being a massive step towards diversifying our economy and bringing in some solid economic dynamism here, especially to Southern Nevada, especially to Las Vegas. You know, I was hesitant in 2023. You know, this was something new to me. I wanted to get to understand these sort of like monetary policies a little bit better, especially the whole film thing, because I did hear a lot of negative, you know, things about film bills in other states. And but the more I saw how we were structuring and we're moving towards this direction of creating a gold standard when it came to approaching the film industry, which I think is a natural step for us, you know, being so entertainment focused here down in Southern Nevada. This was really the gold standard of film bills. It was strong assurances, strong protections in place. And there was an understanding that, yes, there may have been some deficit at the state level, the state budget. I think we're all in agreement with that. But the sort of like compounding economic impact it would have here in Clark County was just a huge deal. I couldn't walk away from it. I became much more avidly supportive of this after having multiple town halls in East Las Vegas and North Las Vegas, hearing directly from the people. These weren't town halls specifically focused on the film bill. They were just general conversations that we were having after the end of the legislative session. And one thing we heard over and over and over again was, what happened with Hollywood 2.0? What happened? You guys failed. You guys, this was a missed opportunity. I even polled my district. Again, my district is probably arguably per capita the poorest district in all of Nevada, District 28. And there was a 71% support for this. I mean, this is the standard deviation was about 4 to 6%. I mean, this was a very popular bill and a popular idea in my district. So I became much more supportive of it. I mean, I had, you know, been all the stakeholders in my local community here, the laborers union, you know, I represent 1/6 of my workforce, employed workforce of construction workers. You know, to me, this was the right thing to do. And, you know, and that's just coming from my constituents. It's not even talking about the overarching policy, which I believe was a very positive one and a strong policy argument, too, that we can make for the passage of this bill.
How do you respond to criticisms of the bill? Like you mentioned, the Legislative Council Bureau presented that this deal could lead to a fiscal cliff. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, so I think the fiscal cliff argument is a bit like alarmist. You know, when we looked at the policy itself and the fiscal notions, the whole idea was to grow the economy while we're actually watching our spending. Not to get too crazy. And if we were able to control that in the first few bienniums, we would have been on the uptick economically. That was one, assessment that was made. There were many assessments, you know, that looked at the totality of the impact. And those were all in the positive. I mean, we're talking about now rehubbing, rehousing Hollywood, you know, and, you know, here in Las Vegas, in Nevada, which is a huge step in diversifying our economy. So there's this notion out there that this was a tax abatement, that we're giving grant money out, that we're actually giving a handout to billionaires. When in the end, this was really looking at creating a smart, efficient policy of attracting a specific segment now of the film industry to hub itself in Vegas. So this wasn't like in Georgia or Michigan or North Carolina or even California and New York, where film companies can just shoot a video or shoot a movie or do a TV show and then leave. We're talking about keeping them there, building infrastructure, and having a decades-long plan and strategy of making Las Vegas a Hollywood 2.0.
One component of this bill would have helped fund pre-K in just Clark County. Are there any other ways to do this through the legislature and, of course, fund pre-K in the rest of the state? I mean, it's hard to make that sell to northern Nevadans.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I'd never really had any sort of like issue. I didn't go over there to lobby my northern Nevada, you know, compatriots there in the legislature, because I know it's a hard sell. It was very popular down here. You know, I was really looking at, you know, some of my southern Nevada lawmakers and colleagues and, you know, and asking them, like, you know, we know this is popular. I mean, you know, so. And in the end, this was a 50-50 vote. I mean, there was a strong support of both sides. You know, we just ended up, you know, a couple votes, you know, maybe one vote short in the Senate. And it was just, we passed, you know, the bill by one vote in the Assembly. So this was not an unpopular bill. There was a lot of support for it. When you look at public education, I mean, the entire apparatus of the state was supportive of this bill. From UNR, the institution that you're at right now, UNLV, the Clark County School District, the largest teachers union, you know, in the state, the Clark County Education Association, they were all in alignment.
Did you expect it to fail then? This is one of the main reasons the governor called you guys to Carson City.
I knew that it was going to be tough because politically, in terms of the actual composition of the legislature, it was going to be a close vote, you know, but I have no doubt that the people of Southern Nevada, at least, and many Northern Nevadans as well, you know, were very supportive of this bill and wanted us to get this through.
And just 1 minute left. Would you bring this bill back in the future? And what changes would you make to make it more attractive to your colleagues who voted no?
Yeah, I would definitely bring this back. I'm hoping that we have a second opportunity. You know, we may not, you know, maybe these film companies are looking at other states now, you know, because of the intransigence that we are dealing with here in Nevada. But, you know, one thing that I would look at is probably the state budget and see if we can come to a more balanced, return on investment, you know, at the state level there. Because, you know, we were so focused on just that number and that aspect of the entire deal and not looking at the totality. But I would work on probably that part of the deal.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, Assemblymember De Silva.
And thank you.
I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you're listening to Purple Politics Nevada, live right here from KUNR. Joining me now is Greg LeRoy, the executive director of Good Jobs First, an economic development subsidies watchdog. Thanks so much for joining me, Greg.
Great to be with you, Lucia.
So before we get into the policy, when I initially reached out for an interview, I was under the shared assumption that the governor had secured the votes needed to call lawmakers into a special session to pass this bill. How surprising was it to you that it failed?
I wasn't watching it closely, but I know that this issue has been very controversial in a number of other states. A number of states that used to have them have rescinded them for various reasons. And I think anybody that takes a really close look at how these tax credits, and I'm putting air quotes around that phrase, work, realize they're really a bad deal for state budgets and taxpayers.
You mentioned some states taking them back, but how often do you see these types of deals fall through in state legislatures?
Well, so we know that states like Michigan and Iowa that had very, very expensive ones have rescinded them. North Carolina pared theirs way back, for example. Louisiana's had a number of scandals associated with theirs, although they've sort of stayed the course. So they've sort of waxed and waned based on both performance and scandals and also budget crises.
The Nevada bill indicated that these would be transferable film tax credits. What does this mean exactly?
Well, it's a euphemism, which actually means salable. And you have some experience with salable tax credits already in Nevada with the Gigafactory, the Tesla Gigafactory. So the tax credits awarded, for example, to Tesla for the battery factory there are so over the top. There's so much more than the company would ever owe in income taxes or other taxes to the state that Tesla actually has sold them to casinos because casinos actually have more taxable profits in the state and therefore can actually use the tax credits. Transferable means that the value of the credits are so excessive, sometimes hundreds times more than what a company might expect to pay in income taxes to a state, that instead the company can sell them to other companies that actually do have a lot of taxable income. And typically in your state, that could be a casino, might be a retailer, might be a media company, but it's a euphemism for sellable.
With these types of documented losses to state budgets and revenues, how do these movie stars and wealthy film corruptions keep making this winning pitch to states?
Well, I think of it as kind of the unholy intersection of Hollywood and politics. You know, when stars make pitches for these, a lot of people don't realize that those stars are often also producers, which is to say people that finance production and therefore would financially benefit personally from the tax credits. Same was true, for example, with various stars pitching a new tax credit in Texas recently.
Nevada isn't alone when it comes to these film subsidies, as you mentioned, and there's still a film tax break program that offers $10 million per year. Actually, just like 11 or states or so don't offer these types of subsidies. Can you talk more about how you've seen them play out across the country?
Well, so they wax and wane. For example, California recently increased theirs substantially in kind of a defensive crouch because New York increased its to $700 million a year. They committed to $7 billion over a decade, for example. But at the same time, as I mentioned before, some Midwestern states had pared back for various reasons. There is actually an international aspect to this, right? These were not born stateside. They came in Europe and Canada as well. But nowhere, you know, there's a large body of evidence saying what's the payback, and the consensus number is about 20 cents on the dollar that a state gets back, which is to say it loses about 80 cents on the dollar. So these are really big losers for taxpayers.
Do you see these types of programs growing in the future? And if they are, what can states do to put some guardrails in place to protect their investments?
So I actually think that it's unlikely they'll expand in the near future because of federal austerity. You know, every state is about to have a budget crisis, and many cities and counties are about to have budget crises, and they can ill afford things that only return upon which they lose 80 cents on the dollar. So I think it's quite likely that more states will curb film production tax credits, and other losers like data center subsidies in the coming couple of fiscal years.
In just 30 seconds left, this has been posed as a way to diversify Nevada's economy. Kind of how do you respond to that? And are there other, do you propose other ways for states to do that?
Sure. So, you know, diversification is an axiomatic good thing in economic development. You don't want to be too dependent on one or two industries. And I get that. And the Nevada economy is very heavily dependent on tourism associated with gaming and Las Vegas. I get that. The question is, what's the best way to do that? And I don't think losing 80 cents on the dollar is the best way. There's other, you know, building on the new manufacturing cluster that you have around Reno, for example, and other things, I think would go a far longer way toward that goal.
Thank you so much for joining us, Greg.
You bet.
And our final guest today is Sarah O'Connell. She's an executive committee member of Nevada Women's Film Festival. Thanks for joining me, Sarah.
Good morning. So glad to be here.
First of all, you weren't in Carson City, you're in Las Vegas, but what was your reaction to the political fight over the film tax bill and the outcome?
Well, it's interesting. I am on the executive committee with the Women's Film Festival, but I'm actually a theater professor at UNLV, in addition to being a nonprofit theater artistic director. And I own a commercial lighting company that services the trade show and rock and roll industries. I have turned my attention to what is the problem between our creativity not having the resources to thrive and help diversify our economy. And so I became a creative economist at UNLV and an interdisciplinary researcher. One of the problems I've had all along with the conversation about the creative industries is that it's being had by people who know not what we are and what we know from the inside out. And so the conversation up to now I've heard has talked, yes, about the issues of tax abatements, things like Tesla. And of course, those are apples to our oranges, which I think is what Ruben Da Silva was mentioning earlier. The creative industries are every job that requires creative skill. And that includes everything from all the entertainment you see. It also includes things like healthcare. It includes things like communication and interdisciplinary science, creative science. And the film industry is actually, you know, the height of entertainment technology, which is also used in every single field of research and tech innovation. And so the first thing I just want to say is that a film bill is not necessarily stimulus for a film studio. A film bill can be a stimulus for the entire infrastructure of our creative industries ecosystem. What I think is productive at this point is to give everyone the great news that we can have a strategy for the creative industries that serves all of the constituencies. My theater company does international work, so I'm an ambassador for cultural tourism who actually brings international artists to America, specifically to Las Vegas, to work. So what hasn't happened is any of the people on this call calling me. And that is, I think, the kind of conversations we can have now. Because what I'm hearing are, as you mentioned in this conversation that right now seems to be a bit more about two people on one similar political party on opposite sides of a piece of legislation, I'm the constituent that they're both trying to serve. And I'm also the advocate who stands out here as a theater person on the street fighting for them.
So the film festival
is about that. That's what the film festival is a perfect example of, which is why I joined the executive committee as a theater professor, because they are doing what theaters do, bringing people together in the public square to support each other and solve problems as leaders themselves, as business owners, as filmmakers.
Sarah, you have the mic right now in front of two lawmakers. Just 1 minute left. How can the state support movie production in Nevada and attract more talent here?
Okay, right in this moment, the thing they can do to start solve the problem is actually support the film festivals. Film festivals are film industry conferences. People think of them as, oh, nice, step and repeats. Look at those rich people giving themselves receptions. No, people, especially in Nevada, are independent filmmakers. They are job creators. They have leveraged their families' intergenerational wealth into their businesses, and they're betting on Las Vegas when they come here for a film festival to give them their business opportunity. So right away, we need to stop thinking of film as not a business at the same time. It is an art, which makes it education. And that is what makes it, sometimes things like circus and film both get caught in the middle, legislators, and they're not treated as art or education. So they're ignored completely. And we all suffer from the same things. They want to help the film industry, they'll solve the healthcare and housing crisis because we're all freelancers. The second thing they'll do right away is they will get to a film festival and sponsor them, show up at them and shake the hand of every business owner who's local, who traveled here. Because if the people who travel here don't see the community supporting them, they don't believe there's a film industry support here. And now we unfortunately have sent a global message that we aren't going to welcome people to the film industry. So it's incumbent on those people who voted down the bill to put their back into supporting the locals who are invested in this industry. So put the visibility on these people, show up, be on their panels, and advocate for learn from them now what you can do now, because you can do something right now, but talk to them directly.
Thank you so much, Sarah. That's all the time we have for today. That was Nevada Women's Film Festival Executive Committee Member Sarah O'Connell, Assembly Member Selena LaRue Hatch and Ruben Da Silva, and Good Jobs First Executive Director Greg Leroy. Thanks so much to our listeners for tuning in to our special legislative session coverage. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you've been listening to Purple Politics Nevada.